How are you doing? Good. Buongiorno. Buenos dias. That's all I got. That's it. Those are the languages I speak, very not fluently, so it is good to be with you. And how many of you are enjoying the summer weather? And how many of you would like to go back to winter? Thank you. Good. That's good. It is so good. I mean, the weather is so beautiful. It is summer. Did we have spring? I think we just went right past spring. But we are excited on our farm. We've planted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Sorry, by we, I mean my wife has planted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different vegetables and flowers and berry bushes and tons and tons of stuff. It's so awesome. So we're excited. Busy time for us on the farm, but a fruitful one in time to come. Amen? Amen. Today I want to talk about our first sermon in our new series, which is A Journey from the Upper Room. How many know that the climax of the church is not just at the upper room when the church is filled with the Spirit, but it actually continues as the disciples and the early church journeys from the upper room? How many of you know that church doesn't end on Sunday? It's the church on Monday that is actually what the Lord wants from us in our lives, that we would be used as conduits for the Holy Spirit to flow in and through our lives. Amen? Amen. So it's actually when you leave the building that you enter the mission field, that we journey from the upper room. See, we journey to, we are filled, you are here, this is the upper room, and then you journey from the upper room. And we come back each week to celebrate what God is doing the other 6 days in our lives. This is meant to be a celebration, like a reception, to celebrate the testimonies of what God is doing in our lives. Amen, amen. So this is going to be good this morning. I'm excited to kick off this new series, which is really a continuation of the old series. And then after the service, we get to enjoy our wonderful time together at our AGM. My mic feels super powerful. I don't know if it's me or the Holy Spirit, but could just be me. Thanks, Claudia, though. You're always with me. I just need someone to always support. But divine healing, our main point this morning is divine healing is accessible through faith in God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our journey doesn't end at the upper room. It didn't end for the early church. In the upper room, the church was baptized with fire, but then it was up to the church to keep that fire burning. A church that has received the power of the Holy Spirit is responsible for releasing the power of the Holy Spirit. The journey to the upper room now becomes a journey from the upper room, and all of God's people are invited to participate. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to pray for someone for healing and see them healed? I remember my first experience with this. It was actually in the church. I had been reading about healing. I had been studying healing in God's word. But God was prompting me, what are you going to do about it, Joel? You know a lot in your head. You've read a lot. You've read hundreds of testimonies of revivalists throughout history. I'd read about Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman and all of these giants from the Pentecost at Azusa Street with William Seymour, with John G. Lake, and all of these revivalists that you're reading about. And then at some point, God presses you a little bit in your reading and your understanding, and he says, now what? You read the Bible and you read about the disciples going out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's like, now what, Joel? And so one Sunday morning, I remember a guy named James, he walked into the church and he was limping, left knee. I don't know what's with knees recently, but the stories keep coming with knees. So he's limping into church with his left knee, and God's like, pray for him. And so me and congregant Dan, we knelt down, we called him over, and we said, James, can we pray for you? And he said, yeah, of course. So we sat down, and I just nervously got down on my, just grabbed a hold of his left knee, and I was sure nothing was going to happen. Because I didn't have a lot of faith in that moment. But God just needs a little bit. So we prayed for him, and his knee was instantly healed. Instantly healed. Yeah, you can clap for that. That was like 9 years ago. That's not good. What God wants to do is in our lives, he wants to be moving and transforming our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember that after that moment, I was now convinced that God wants to use us to heal. I do not see healing as often as I would like, obviously. I would love to see healing every time. In fact, right now I'm partnering with another family in the church, and we're praying for a relative that is distant who's going through terminal cancer. And we pray every couple weeks for this person. And it is hard every couple weeks to continue to pray against cancer. But we don't give up. We keep praying for what God can do. What we know God is able to do, that's where we pray from. And as I began to pray more for healing, do you know what happens when you pray more for healing? You see more healing. You know what happens when you don't pray for healing? You don't see any healing. Just like Wayne Gretzky says, if you don't take any shots, you won't score any goals. If you don't ever pray for healing, I guarantee you, you'll never see someone healed. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 17, as we look at the life of Jesus. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. You see, Jesus was known as someone who regularly saw healing occur. And so the religious leaders, kind of the pastors, came from 144 miles away to see Jesus' ministry. Why did they come to see Jesus' ministry? To see if it was real. To see if Jesus was authentic. To see if Jesus actually healed the sick. They came to authenticate his ministry. Jesus was known worldwide as someone who prayed for healing and saw healing. Did you know that even in the Quran, the holy book of Islam, stories of Jesus healing the blind, healing the leper, resurrecting the dead is in the Quran? It is so widely accepted that Jesus was a healer. It's even more widely accepted that Jesus healed than Jesus as the Son of God, which is very debated and is not found in the Quran. So think about this. To be a Muslim, you have to believe in Jesus as the healer. And I know we believe Jesus is the healer, but something happens from Jesus to us that we don't think we can pray for healing. But Jesus' healing power is more accepted in the world than his divine nature. Why? Because Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse says that Jesus had the power of God in him to heal. How did Jesus have the power of God in him to heal? It's not just because Jesus was God that he contained the power of God. Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus heal by the power of the Holy Spirit and not just because in his divine nature he is God? He did that to show the church what they could do. Jesus chose to limit himself, to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to heal, so we would have no excuses. Amen. That's good, Joel. That's good. You just believe it. You're preaching to yourself today. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about these gifts of healing for the church now. So this is after Jesus ascends. And in 1 Corinthians 12, which we've been going through as a church, verse 9b, he talks about these gifts of healing. Different gifts, not just one gift of healing, but different gifts of healing for the church. Paul also tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that because Jesus dwells in us, it is through faith that we see the power of the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Paul writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray," Paul says, "that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So where's the power of the Spirit? In your inner being. Where does Christ dwell? In our hearts. So right now, you sit there and you possess the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ in you. And where the power of the Spirit is, there is accessibility to healing, to power, to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He says this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." Look at your neighbor and say, power. Let's try that again. Look at your neighbor and say, power. Still a lingering on. Some are saying dunamis. Some are saying something else, but that's good. Together with all of the Lord's holy people, that's you, power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. See, it's not just a knowing kind of love, it's a doing kind of love. Watch what he goes on to say. To know this kind of love that surpasses knowledge. Surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. What Paul is saying is, listen, if you can imagine it, it's more. If you can ask it, it's more. Why? Because he has glorious riches beyond what you can imagine. If you can think it, he can provide it and some. If you can ask for it, he will give it. If you can ask for it, he will give it with interest. He is a God of immeasurably more. And he puts that power to access healing in us, in our inner being, Paul's talking about the power to love beyond knowledge, and also the power to demonstrate that love. Healing is a demonstration of God's love. It's not simply that someone might be restored physically, it's that they might see a demonstration of God's heart and his love for an individual. When you pray for someone and they are healed, they encounter love. They light up like a Christmas tree. I lit up like a Christmas tree a couple weeks ago. Somebody prayed for my back and I was healed. I felt healed, but I felt loved. Faith activates the power of God for healing. Not faith just for faith's sake. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. Faith in understanding the character and nature of God. This is an awesome story we're going to read together. Turn with me to Luke 5, verse 18 to 20. And I can hear the pages just turning. There we go. I'm on my iPad, I joke. So I'm reading the verses off the iPad. So no shame. Go on your phone, it'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way, some of you have been trying a lot of different ways. Some of you have been trying a lot of different ways to find Jesus, and some of you have been trying a lot of different ways to find healing. Some of you have been to doctor and specialist after specialist, after doctor, after surgeon, after counselor, after psychiatrist, after pastor, after sermon, after whatever. When they could not find a way because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." These friends are good friends. These friends are not going to be persuaded by the crowd. These friends will not be stopped. These friends have faith that if they can just get to Jesus, any means necessary, their friend is going to be healed. These are good friends. How many of you want to be this kind of friend? I want to be, yes. I want to be the kind of friend that is like, yeah, I see the lineup, but it's quicker if we just go up to the roof, grab our circular saw, and cut a hole in the roof, and drop our friend down. We're not going to wait online or some VIP room to get to Jesus. Nothing is going to stop us. I want to be this kind of friend. This is what loving community means. You see, faith cuts a hole in the roof to get to Jesus. Faith is so sure that if I could just get to Jesus, my friend will be healed, that faith starts cutting a hole in someone else's house. I wouldn't recommend this. If you cut a hole in my roof and come down in the middle of the night into my house, I can be assured you'll be met with a very friendly dog. He is super friendly. He will do nothing to you, I tell you that. My son Joshua, who's 6 years old, is more likely to drop kick you in the face than my dog actually getting angry at you. But don't tell anybody, okay? He's a guard dog. Yes. It's the most loving 110-pound Bernese Mountain Dog. He's just so loving. He will love you to death. Where was I? You see, faith persists until something happens. Faith pushes. The acronym PUSH is pray until something happens. We need a lot more pushing kind of prayer. Can you imagine if a woman was in labor and they're like, push, and she's like, I'm done. Just push a little bit more and the baby's here. No, you know what? I'm done pushing. I'm done. No, we gotta push until something happens. At Northside, one of our values is to be faith-filled. To be faith-filled. In other words, we believe for what God can do, not just what we have experienced. Here in the story, the man is forgiven of sin. First. The man is spiritually healed. First. Spiritually restored. First. Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And this is before he is physically healed. You see, sometimes, not always, but sometimes habitual sin, unforgiveness, past trauma, past abuse can open the door for the enemy to inflict illness upon you. Pain, chronic illness, sickness, could be generational. And sometimes we are opened up even unknowingly to these things. And sometimes, not always, sometimes sin in our life can open the door to the enemy to inflict sickness, illness, pain. Sometimes sickness is related to stress, trauma, mental illness, abuse, and so on. This one time we had an inner healing session, and inner healing is a time where we pray with you and the Holy Spirit to heal you of things, past trauma, past abuse. Sometimes it's physical healing, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever. And we usually spend a couple hours with people praying through different things in their life, and we're listening to God, and we're sharing these things with the person. And really what we're trying to do is get out of the way and let the person and God have this direct relationship so that they might be healed. And this one time we had a meeting lined up with a woman, and she came in that day and she was like hunched over. But she didn't make the appointment for back pain. She made the appointment for other things, which I won't get into. But she came in hunched over, and I said, what happened to your back? And she said, I don't know. Just a few days ago, as I was thinking about coming today, I just had this intense back pain. She completely hunched over. I said, well, let's do the inner healing first, and then before you leave today, we'll pray for your back. She said, okay. So we started praying through some things. Like an hour and a half of praying into things and over things from the past. We're praying through them one by one, memories, situations. We come to the end of our inner healing time. And then I said, oh, we got to pray for your back. And she just was sitting up totally straight. And she said, there's actually no pain in my back. She's like, my back is completely healed. We said, we didn't pray for it. What happened? We didn't even pray for the back. What happened was we prayed for what was underneath the surface. And when we pray for what's underneath the surface, again, sometimes that can lead to a physical healing. That physical healing sometimes is related to emotional, mental, spiritual, trauma, abuse, sickness, illness. There's another story, though, in the Bible, and this man was healed and forgiven spiritually first. There's another story in the Bible where there's a blind man that is is healed by Jesus, and the disciples look at Jesus and they say, is this man blind because of his sin? And Jesus says, no. Is this man blind because his parents sinned? No. So it's not always the case. But sometimes it is. That's why they ask the question. My point is this. Sometimes our physical sickness, pain, illness can be related to emotional, mental, spiritual. In inner healing, what we're trying to do is get to the root of the issue. I have this this dandelion plant today. It's a little picture for us. Just for the record, when I took it out this morning, the dandelion was sticking up perfectly straight. And now it's literally limped over there and not. But what happens, you can laugh at me. I'm okay. I can take it. Just go ahead and laugh at me. That's my dandelion right there. Now we see it. She had the camera on it right there. See? Right there. Okay. Now what happens is that, let's imagine this dandelion plant is, it's our sickness. It's our illness. It's our pain. What we end up doing is sometimes we like to just give it a little trim, you know? So, you know, maybe we have a few drinks at the bar. Maybe we just numb it a little bit. You know, maybe we fill it with Netflix. Maybe we eat Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar potato chips, my personal favorite. You know, also, you know, maybe we go for some counseling and we really trim it down a little bit. You know, maybe we go for surgery and we really trim it down. And this is what I like to do with my lawnmowers. I like to just cut it all off. And we cut it all the way down. And all of this is symptomatic. All of this makes it appear to be less invasive in our life. And we just keep clipping it off. And for years we do this. But at the end of the day, anybody have dandelions? What happens? Keeps growing back. Why does it keep growing back? Because you never got to the root. See, what you got to do is, these are really annoying too, aren't they? You got to pull it. You got to pull it out. Because every dandelion has a taproot. And if you don't get that taproot, you can cut it off all you want. You can even make it appear like it's not even there. But if you don't get to the root of it, it's always going to come back. It's always going to come back. What we do in inner healing is we don't just deal with the symptoms. We like to get to the root. And some of you have been dealing with symptoms of your sickness, of your illness, for a long, long time. And Jesus can uproot and rip out everything the enemy has planted. Jesus can heal you in a moment, or Jesus can heal you in a process. This is why Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Because we have a choice where we're rooted. And where you have roots, you will have fruit. Healing isn't always instant. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Sometimes healing is progressive. So Jesus comes along and he's with his disciples and he comes to Bethsaida. And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Why would Jesus lead him outside the village? Why wouldn't Jesus just heal him in front of everyone? Why did Jesus want to go for a walk with this blind man? We don't know what happens in this walk. We don't know what happens in this conversation. But I imagine that Jesus led this man outside the village so Jesus could address some of the things going on in his life. What I imagine happening here is that Jesus and this man have a little inner healing session. Because to be blind in this culture is not just physical. There is mental, emotional trauma that comes along with it. He took the man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" If I ever need healing for anything, this is one method I appreciate if you just never use on me. Because if I hear you starting to hock a loogie on me, it might be met with resistance. I heard a pastor once say that the reason Jesus spit was because in the Jewish culture, if a person was blind and his parents were walking him down the street, sometimes in the Jewish culture, they would actually spit on the child because the child would have been like a curse from the family. So Jesus goes for a walk with this blind man. And then the blind man hears, what do you think the blind man's thinking? Umbrella, umbrella. What I think might have happened is he might have remembered when he was a little boy. He's walking with his parents on a walk outside. And he might have heard that familiar sound. The shame, the guilt. But this time, Jesus was getting to the root. And in that spittle, it's called spit and dirt. It's also believed that in Jewish culture that actually spit had some healing properties to it. Another interpretation. Jesus mixes this with some mud, puts it on him. And he says to him, "Do you see anything?" And the man looks up and says, "I see people, but they look like trees." In other words, he has a partial healing. Once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village. Don't go back the way you came." What Jesus shows us is there can be progressive healing. Not every healing is instant. If Jesus shows us progressive healing, then we're going to see progressive healing. Sometimes I think we don't celebrate enough the markers, the steps. And I think we need to. I think anytime you see a decrease in pain, you celebrate. Anytime that you see a symptom go away, even if it's not the disease or the sickness isn't all gone, you celebrate. You celebrate the process. Jesus led this man out of sight to receive his sight. I don't know why Jesus didn't heal him in the crowd. I don't know why Jesus didn't heal him instantly. But I do know this. I do know this is just because you aren't healed instantly, just because you aren't healed the first time you pray for it, just because you aren't healed the first time someone else prays for you, doesn't mean he isn't present in the process. Jesus is always willing to walk with you through the process. Jesus is always willing to be present with you even before the healing occurs. Jesus is always willing to get to the root of the issue, and that happens in the process. So even when we are not fully healed, Jesus is there. I'm sure in this room we are all contending for mental, emotional, spiritual, physical healing. Keep contending. But while you're contending, don't just wait for the gift. Discover the giver. Discover the presence of Jesus in the process. And when discouragement comes, when you don't see healing, go to Jesus. He is still present in the discouragement. Every person will be healed. The question is, which side of heaven will you be healed on? But we all believe in healing. We are going to be a church that contends for healing on this side of heaven. So we're going to go after that with tenacity. What I'm finding actually about praying with this person I described before, and I've prayed for others before too. I remember praying so many times for Dennis McLennan to be healed. And I'm sure that we have people in our own lives that we, over and over, we pray and we contend and we don't see the victory on this side of heaven. What that has done in me is developed this righteous anger at the enemy and what he's able to take from people. And what that righteous anger has turned into over time, in a healthy way with Jesus, is compassion. And what often happens with Jesus and compassion, he is filled with compassion and he prays for healing. We must be filled with an aching compassion to be used by God. So this morning, what I would like to do is I would like to pray for healing. We're going to have the worship team come up as well as a ministry team available. There's one other interesting thing that I wanted to point out about Jesus making the spittle. This is found in Jewish writing, and I think it's really important. This is found in the Talmud, which is a Jewish book. And it says in Jewish tradition that the spittle or the spit of the firstborn of a father heals. So there's a belief that the spit contained in the firstborn of a father heals. I think what Jesus was saying to this man is, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God, and I'm going to heal you physically, but I'm giving you salvation as well. The reason I want to share that is there are individuals here that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus is looking at you this morning, and he's saying, I am the Son of God. And if you come to me, you who are thirsty, I will fill you. I will heal you. I'll restore you.